like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, everybody, good morning, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, bringing in my co-host, Chris Hanks, in just a minute. And right here every week, Thursday, live from 11:30 to 12:30, right here in the Shrimp Tank, we bring you some of the brightest and best CEOs across the state of Georgia. In and around the city of Atlanta, we will learn about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and running a successful business. And you know what? From time to time, we bring in kids, the bright entrepreneurs from tomorrow, to hear about their ideas. They pitch them right here on the Shrimp Tank, and we find out whether or not their business will swim or it will sink every single week. Now, as always, brought to you, I bring you my co-host, the best man, the nicest man, the kindest man, here in the studio today, Professor Chris Hanks, who's not only the founder, but he's the executive director of the Now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And we say this every week, but if you haven't taken a look at what's going on at Kennesaw State, they had the coal school selling. That has done unbelievable. Kids are coming out and making top-notch jobs. But now, a lot of kids want to become entrepreneurs. And where do they do that? Well, KSU will be the only school in the entire state of Georgia to have an accreditation where your child can get a degree in entrepreneurship. So amazing, amazing stuff under the leadership of Chris Hanks. And so, Chris, tell us what is going on right now in the entrepreneurship program at Kennesaw State.
Oh, all kinds of good stuff. I guess since the last time we were together, let's see, I was in elementary school, middle school,
I'm sorry about that.
High school. High schools out of these elementary schools.
I thought you were going back to elementary.
No, this was legal. This was all sort of legit. All right.
I thought you were doing a Billy Madison. You were like reverting to that or something
exactly.
Like that.
No, I heard some pitches actually yesterday, and it was kids doing candygrams and basically pitching their businesses where they had candygrams, where they were these little candygrams that you can give to a friend, selling them for like $5.
What?
And saw them pitch it. It was a third grade class. It was amazing to watch these kids pitch. Middle school, seeing Shark Tank type of environment where these middle schoolers were doing amazing things. Everything from a tutoring business to a girl who was making iPhone cases in her basement.
Kidding.
So just amazing stuff. You know, just this whole idea of entrepreneurship and the people that we're partnering with, you know, just sort of unleashing that entrepreneurial spirit among the youth. And it's really fun to be a part of it.
Well, I know that KSU right now, I think we're getting to this point that with all the kids that are going through the program and coming up with their own ideas, is the KSU 100 about ready to get rolling here shortly?
We are getting rolling. We had our sort of in-class competition for that, sort of our scrimmages before the real season starts. Our application deadline is in February. Students are already lining up. We've got about 40-some students that we're working with and mentoring to get prepared. And it's essentially where we take 100 student businesses. We get them mentored using sort of like the format of The Voice. Meets Shark Tank. So a Shark Tank type of environment, mentorship by these rock stars in entrepreneurship. You do happen to know the person who mentored the winner last year.
No, I don't.
So,
who was that?
That was a guy named Lee Heisman. I think, yeah, you've heard of...
It was rigged.
So, yeah.
It was rigged.
So, yeah. Your guy made, what, top 10?
No.
You were top 10 or top
20. Oh, he was top 4.
You were top...
Yeah. And then
what,
he went
you were
on
top
the,
4?
No, no. He
I
was
thought
top,
you
he
were
was top 10.
10.
And then he went on the road to cut Lyle Lovett CDs because he looked very similarly just like Lyle Lovett. So he went to go on a career to do that or something like that. Was his name Franklin?
Yes, absolutely.
Good old I would Franklin. Have to say that's a very, very, very rough name to grow up with, Franklin. So. I feel like that is a name that you get beaten up by when you have Franklin. Not that Franklin got beaten up. He just seemed like he might be that type of guy.
He actually used to be a Marine.
Was he really?
Marine. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why he grew out the hair.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but we're going to bring on our guest in just a second. We have Paris Kohanim here today, a Paris Kohanim photography. He is one of the greatest photographers. I will say this, and I know I've seen his work personally in the United States. We're going to hear some amazing stuff, just not only about photography, but how do you run an art gallery? How do you make that thing work as a business for those of you that are out there that you have that kind of talent and you can make things with your hands or you're good with your eye when you shoot photography, and how do you make that work? I did want to ask you, you know, we always talk about one or two things when it comes to entrepreneurship every week, and I like bringing in different kinds of articles. And, you know, Chris, I read an article over the last week, and there's this concept in a lot of businesses that they say that the customer is always right. And then there's some little joke that's on a mug somewhere that says, rule number two, revert to rule number one. You know, the customer is always right. But the article basically came out to say there are five reasons why the customer isn't always right is actually wrong. And I'm wondering what you talk to kids about that when they start their business. And, you know, I know kids are all into, you know, how do I start my business and sell it for $20 million in 5 years? They think about that kind of stuff, but sometimes they don't think about this baseline part of the customer. So would you tell them in class, or what kind of dialogue would happen about, is the customer always right?
Yeah, that's always a fun thing to talk about a little, because that's a phrase that most people have heard. And that is somewhat of a myth, right? Because sometimes the best thing a business owner can do is fire a customer, you know? Yeah. And that's the hard thing to do. Like, I'm sure you've had to fire a customer before. And
unfortunately, we have.
So this idea that I am going to completely change the value that I'm offering and the way I'm doing things because of one customer's opinion is probably a faulty concept.
I'm wondering if it results in worse customer service. I wonder at the end of the day that, like, the fact that you're trying to do everything you can to please the client and that may detract you from serving other clients who should get that customer service actually makes things worse.
Yep, absolutely. I think we have to be sort of adamant about designing our business around the customer's experience. So certainly a customer-centric business models we talk about and design. That doesn't necessarily mean the customer is always right. What that means is the customer can tell us how to design our business if we just take the time to really listen. And then we design it, but then we're going to be clear on here's what we're offering and here's why we're offering it. And then standing true to what we value and who we are. We can't let customers change the essence of who we are.
This is why you need to go to Kennesaw State and attend the classes with Chris Hanks, because you will learn this kind of stuff. And you know what? The real cool thing about it, parents, which I think is amazing for entrepreneurs, is there actually aren't any tests. It's really like on-the-job training all the
experiential.
Time, right? It's all experiential.
All experiential, yeah. We have to experience. I mean, I just can't imagine like a, you know, football season, you know, you're saying, okay, well, I'm going to teach you how to be a great quarterback. I want you to read this book, and then I'll test you on what you read. You know, you're going to get out there, and you're going to practice, and you're going to throw, and, you know, you're going to, you can't learn how to swim without jumping into the pool. So in the same way, we are going to learn entrepreneurship by experiencing it.
Well, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. My name is Ted Jenkins. I'm your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder for the Shure Center for Entrepreneurship. You can always catch a replay of all of the shows, and we're going to bring on Paris in just a second here on shrimptankpodcast.com, where you can learn from the brightest and best entrepreneurs. There are tons of videos on YouTube. Most importantly, you can download us on iTunes right now. And I know for those of you that get stuck in traffic, don't cry. Don't be sad. If you listen to The Shrimp Tank, while you're on the way, you will learn from bright entrepreneurs. You actually could take a whole college course curriculum to and from your way from Alphatucky down here to Buckhead and back when you do that every single day. So we're going to bring on our guest today. I'm really excited about this because we've had different businesses on the Shrimp Tank. We've had law firms, and we've had people that are doctors, and we've had people that, you know, own security system companies and real estate companies. But I don't think yet that we've had an artist. And I think that this is really amazing because Paris Kohanim has done tons of art over his whole life and made a living doing it, which I think is amazing. And we're going to bring him on today to talk about not only art, but how you actually run and manage and build an art gallery. So thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
How in the world did you get started and decide that you wanted to have a business and a career in photography?
Well, it goes back to when I was in college. I came here to become a geologist.
A geologist. Really?
Yes, because, you know, I was always outdoors with my parents, you know, and I think our best teachers and influencers are our parents. We were always hiking mountains and all that, and that became ingrained in my head. And I just wanted to say, well, what a great job to be outdoors all the time. So when I went to school and started taking some courses, it was not the same. So I started exploring art And then as a last elective, I took photography and I fell in love with it. Then, you know, I've been doing photography for 35 years plus or more, and I'm still in love with it as much as I was in the beginning. And I decided to become a commercial photographer at first because that's how I could pay my bills. And that made things easier for me to work on my own projects, because when I was working as a commercial photographer, I would be working with major advertising agencies doing campaigns for IBM or the Fortune 500 companies. It was always their concept, their layouts. It wasn't mine. And then I just wanted to express myself. I was like, yeah, what am I getting this? You know, I wanted to express my opinion. So I would have my projects on the side, which became a part of my art. It's a collection of my art. So I continuously produce new art because I just want to go to the next level. A lot of people ask me, well, you've been doing this for so long. Are you there? And I say, you're never there. There's always a next, there's a next level, you know? So if you think that you're there, you're cheating yourself because, you know, you're limiting yourself to exploring to the next level. One of the stories that I love is one of my friends who was a very famous commercial illustrator. And at age 40, he decides, well, I want to become a sculptor. And he asked me, he said, Parrish, you know, I want you to... He was working with Fortune 500 companies like me, and he was making an excellent living. At age 40, he decided to change gears. And because he saw something out there that has a huge possibilities. Now he's become one of the world's top sculptors. And his quote and mine is, leap and the net will appear.
Wow, I like that. Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. I think the greatest impediment in our lives is our fears. So if we learn to overcome that, I think we could accomplish a lot more. You know?
So there's so many people, I'm sure, that are listening that, you know, could get inspired by this, because a lot of people say, wow, I really love photography. I want to start a business in that, or I love to paint and I could be a painter. But to make that transition and take the work that you love to do and build a business around it, that's a really hard thing. Mm-hmm. So what kind of advice could you give to people who says, wow, I love photography too. I'm going to start a business. What would you say?
Well, I think one thing is to ignore all the cacophony and the noises out there.
God, look at that. That's the SAT word of the day.
Yeah.
Cacophony. I like
it. Yeah.
I can't spell it. I can't spell it. I heard Parrish say it, but I can't spell it.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a side, but I do have a bumper sticker in my office that says, can't spell entrepreneur. Become one and hire someone who can. So that is actually in my office. So,
all right, keep going. I'm sorry. I just love that word. It was
so. I think, you know, to ignore a lot of the false images, you know, that is out there, that, you know, the quick pill mentality is not going to work. I think it is going to take focus, hard work, and passion to make your business a success.
Now, you have people out there in obviously all kinds of different artistry. You have glass blowers. Mm-hmm. You have people that make different clay, or they build pottery and things like that. You have photography. You have painters. Mm-hmm. When somebody who's listening to this program today who's saying, you know, I'm an artist. I'm really good at it. I make things out of scrap metal, whatever it may be. How did you figure out how to start to price items that are out there? That, to me, I don't even know how that would come about. How do you actually price out and say, well, I made this beautiful picture. What's it worth?
Well, that's a good question, because a lot of times I don't think I put the right price on it, because a lot of people say, why are you selling it so cheap? You know, so so I think it depends how much time I've put into it and what it's worth to me, you know. So the value I get out of doing my work is, in addition to the monetary value, it is the personal fulfillment that I get out of it, the spiritual journey that I take. You know, when I lose myself in doing a project for myself, it's an art project, that's worth more than any money. And I think we should not neglect that part of it, being an entrepreneur.
Very good point.
To really create a balance in our lives. Well, it's great to be successful, make a lot of money, but what does it do our personal life? We need to be fulfilled. We need to be balanced. We need to be happy. And one of the things that we never think about is contentment. You know, when I ask, you know, a lot of my friends who are successful, I said, what do you think of contentment? They look at me like, what, you know, the word contentment has a stigma attached to it, which means you're a complacent person. You don't want to go to the next level. You're lazy. But that's not true. I think if you're content, you're more at ease to go to the next level. So I think that's really important. It's a part of being an entrepreneur. You have to be content with what you do. And the false message is you have to keep working hard and drive yourself so hard. But I think if you love what you do and trust yourself, then trust your passion. I think that's the key.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on the Business Radio X Networks. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We've got on a great guest today, Paris Cohanim, who's the owner of Paris Cohanim Photography. They have an art gallery that's in Buckhead. We'll talk more about that in just a bit. You can always catch a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com or download us on iTunes. And I'm wondering, I want to ask a few more questions before we go to our break, but I'm wondering a little bit about this second concept that once you become an artist, how do you actually figure out how to make money in an art gallery and building an art gallery? You know, you see these in Manhattan or San Francisco or these big, beautiful, intimidating art galleries. And you also go to small towns like, Key West, where you're down there. And I wouldn't know if I'd call it an art gallery, but they've got stuff that's down there as well. And how do you make money at that?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know, I think I like to be unconventional. I think there are not too many photographers who have their own art gallery and they display the exclusive of their own art. So, I mean, I'm on a new journey. I've just switched gears the past year. So I just want to focus exclusively on doing my art instead of doing the commercial work and all the lectures and everything else that I do. So the best way, I need to constantly explore the new marketing strategies also to sell art because there's a lot out there. And to stand out from the rest, that's a real challenge that we're exploring right now. And so I think I really feel good about this journey. And this is a fairly new experience for me. I mean, I've sold art for many years, but not exclusively. Now I have an art gallery that we put a lot of time and effort and money into it, and I want to make it successful, and that's my goal. So I'll work very hard at it to promote it and create new work and bring people in.
So how much time do you spend doing the work of the artist versus doing the work of the business owner? And how do you handle that as your business grows? I'm sure, you know, it's harder to be harder and harder to become the doer of the thing that you do and more transition into the owner of the thing that you do.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I never really separate the two too much. You know, when I do a project for myself, I drown myself and I get lost in my work. So the time becomes irrelevant. And one of the things that we've lost as a modern man is having patience, you know, to get this project done. So I come from the old days of film. I used to shoot film and, you know, that you had to do everything in camera. We didn't have all this modern technology to help us, you know. And when they did commercial assignments for people, for advertising agencies or design firms, you had to do everything in camera. You had to be inventive. So nothing has really changed. So I made a transition to the digital technology and we're doing it differently. I'll be doing a lot more of it because before when I did a project, we would send that out to professional retouching houses and they would retouch the photographs. Now we're doing everything ourselves. We're doing typesetting, we're doing design, which is really great. And which, you know, that the part of creating the actually photograph is very basic, but the rest of it is as important, you know, the post-processing and so on. So,
well, we're going to take a break from our sponsors. And when we come back with Paris, we're going to talk more about art galleries, making money, and the world of photography. We'll take a quick break from our sponsors. We're going to do our hot or not section. And I want to find out, nude photos, hot or not, when we come back from our break right here on The Shrimp Tank.
Does it seem like the more money you make, the more money seems to slip through your fingers? Why is it that you make six figures, but seem to have six figures worth of bills? Now's the time to get a plan. Set up time today to start your 21-day budget cleanse. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to schedule a complimentary meeting today. Go to OxygenFinancial.net to get started. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Oxygen is not affiliated with Kestra.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. Coming to you live every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30. Thanks for joining us during your lunch hour. If you're hanging out and learning from our bright entrepreneurs, that's what we do here. We talk to the best CEOs in and around the city of Atlanta and across the state of Georgia. I'm joined every week by my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the blowing up, in a good way, the Kennesaw State, now Shore Center for Entrepreneurship, where tons and tons of kids are signing up to be the future entrepreneurs of America. And look, we don't know what's going to happen underneath this whole Trump regime that's coming, but I have a feeling, this is just a small feeling, that the tax breaks will look good for people that own a corporation. Just a guess. A small guess here, Chris, just so you know. But every week, we like to do our hot or not section in our second segment. We're sitting here with our guest, Paris Cohanim, who's the owner of Paris Cohanim Photography, has a wonderful gallery in Buckhead, which we'll talk more about as we go through the show today. And in this hot or not section, we like to talk about a number of different things. The first thing I wanted to ask you, artists that are out there that actually think about getting into business to sell their artistry, is it a good idea to have a business plan? Is that hot or is it not?
Well, it's definitely very essential to have a business plan.
You think so?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't just get on the street and pick up a cart and start selling my stuff.
You know, and I should have taken some of Chris's courses and gone to Harvard Business School to learn that. But, you know, I've been doing this photography for 35 plus years. And, you know, I never went into doing anything for myself or creating art, saying, okay, I'm going to make X amount of dollars. You know, so it was this very intuitive process that I went through, and hard work, you know, and surrounding yourself with people who are talented and smarter than you. As Warren Buffett said, he said, I'd like to surround myself with people who are smarter than me. And that I really love that. So I have people who bring a lot of value in my business, and I value the work also.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of students who love photography. You know, they take some artsy photo and they use technology to sort of make it even look more hipster. And then they'll show it to me. Yeah, and then they'll talk about the possibilities of a photography business. So I guess my question for you is technology, is that hot or not for you in the business? Does that help you or hurt you?
Well, I think it's helped me tremendously.
Wow.
And, but at the same time, there's a lot of false messages in technology.
Right.
I think if you, you know, there's no quick pill mentality. It doesn't work. You know, so I think a lot of young kids, they pick up a camera and they expect to make a career out of it. They don't realize all the other components that would make them successful, which is hard work, being focused, and really embracing some business ideals, you know, to run their business.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's important to really listen, like ignore the voices out there. You know, just rely on what you believe in and work hard and get there. So to answer your question, the technology has helped me, but it at the same time, it consumes a lot of my time. And I don't use the technology as to save my art. I use it as a tool. I don't use it as an excuse. I mean, a lot of people think, well, you know, I could do that and I could fix it in post-production. It's not the same. It's not organic the same. So when I'm capturing an image, I want it to be right from the beginning and then go to the next step to enhance it. So that's the creative part of it. As far as making it a business of it, it's going to take some effort because a lot of people out there, the young people who think they, you know, they want to pick a career and they don't go through the appropriate processes to start their business. So I think they need to do a good bit of research and, again, go to some business workshops or schools and learn the business side of it to start the business as well. That's just important. Marketing is so important.
Did you actually shoot Trump? I thought I saw one on your website here.
Yes, I shot him.
It was Trump and the beautiful Ivanka.
That's
right. Did you actually shoot Trump?
Yes, wow. I did.
I don't mean shoot him literally, but
Trump
like you shot the photos. I'm not saying he's going to get shot, although it's a possibility, but you know.
Well, what was interesting about that shoot, you know, that we had.
You did? You actually did?
I did photograph Ivanka and Trump. And I was extremely impressed with Ivanka because we went to this post, this magazine had a party. And the evening, and we went and hang out with her. She is just very gracious, very smart woman. Donald Trump is very busy. You know, I had 3 minutes to take his photos, and the editor
take the photo.
Yeah,
take
right.
the photo.
Big well, league. What was interesting, and the editor of a magazine. You know, we were inside this media event that Ivanka would walk in, and the reporters would pull it out, and you know, like where I was about to take the photos of both of them. And the editor would get really nervous and say, wow, you know, we're never going to get this show. So Donald Trump comes over and I'm all set up, you know. So this is another thing. You have to be prepared when you're shooting celebrity or anybody. They're not going to wait for you to adjust your light or just waste time. So everything, I was just ready to go, just click a button and go. So 3 minutes is not much time to capture.
And is that how long you had to shoot the whole thing in 3 minutes?
I did. That's all I had.
I'll show you guys. This is one of the photos on it.
So this was
we're going to be used for a cover of the magazine. And so when I took the photos, Donald Trump comes and says, "Let me see what you got." And I'm showing on my laptop. And I said, "Well, that's interesting. He's got tens and thousands of shots of himself. Why would he care?"
He cares about himself.
Well, I think that hasn't changed.
You know, that hasn't changed.
I don't think that was ego. He really did care. And I respected that because it's not that he was vain or anything like that. And he picked the picks that I would pick. And I really respected him. The best of all, he didn't fire me.
So how did you get the opportunity to shoot that? Because I'm sure that's something that a photographer, any photographer, would be thrilled to have that opportunity. How did you get it?
Well, I worked with the editor of this magazine that, you know, she had me do Robert Redford and Kenny Rogers, and then Donald Trump was the other one.
You shot Kenny Rogers?
Yeah.
Was this pre or post 9,000 surgeries?
Well,
what was it?
I almost didn't recognize him when I met him.
I used to coach his son in basketball.
Yeah. Did you really?
So, yes, right. In Athens. Yes, indeed.
The gambler himself?
Yeah.
On plastic surgery?
So this is a long time ago, but I coached his sons in basketball, so I got to meet him.
Is that right? There's a really nice person. I went to his house and he had this young two very energetic twins that he could not focus on my photo shoot. You know, we shot him at the studio and then at his house. Then I go to his office and he's got all these platinum records all over the place. And I said, "Kenny, you're a legend." He said, "Parrish, legends are for dead people."
how about a hot or not here? You take pictures of a lot of people. And I'm really not sure personally where I am. I'm a little annoyed by this, getting more annoyed. But are selfies hot or not? Is it a hot or not?
I think they're the most mindless thing there is, you know.
Do you really?
I think
you hate them.
Well, I really don't see any point of getting validation for everything you do. You go and take a photograph of your food and you share that with your friends. So are you going to go to the bathroom and share that with your friends? You know, I don't want to hear that. You know,
Hanks, I feel really bad that Parrish has said this today.
I'm sorry.
You said it, and you're probably right. But for some reason, I bought 10 of these remote control selfie things, so you could put your camera over there. It's a little button, and then this way, you don't have a stupid stick, or you set the camera up and you press a button, and then you can take a picture of yourself remotely, and now. Yeah. All of my dreams are flushed down the toilet after hearing Parrish.
You know what? let me clarify, Ted. I'm from an old generation, and I think there's overabundance of it. I think we see that all the time, and I just get so tired of it. You know, I think there's the right places for it, and I don't say categorically I condemn that, but I think there are other places for everything. In moderation.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break from our sponsors. I love that today. How do you get a Trump story in there? It's unbelievable. We take a quick break from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to play our plead the fifth round with Parrish. And now I'm thinking about the questions, because if we can get him to plead the fifth, it will be amazing. We'll be right back here on The Shrimp Tank.
Today's episode is brought to you by Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth. Would you like to have live radio at your next trade show or conference? Well, now you can with Business Radio X and Radio in My Booth, engaging a targeted audience on location. To learn more about having live radio at your next trade show, conference, expo, or an event, go to radioinmybooth.com. That's radioinmybooth.com. Back to you, Ted.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Shrimp Tank, coming to you live 11:30 to 12:30 every Thursday right here in the Business Radio X Networks. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. You can always catch a replay of all of our broadcasts. If you missed out on that second segment today, you definitely want to hear it at shrimptankpodcast.com, or you can download us on iTunes, listen to us in the car, or when you have time, listen to the podcast. And I'm serious, you want to learn about running a business. If you listen to the last 50 shows that we did, you'll get almost all the advice that you need from successful entrepreneurs about running, growing, starting, and just creating a really successful business. We're here today with our guest, Parrish Kohanim, who's the owner of Parrish Kohanim Photography, a beautiful art gallery in Buckhead. And we play this plead the fifth round because we want to find out. This is sort of, we get to know a little bit on the behind the scenes. And so I guess my first plead the fifth today, just because I want to know, is is who was the best nude subject that you ever shot? Favorite nude subject? I maybe this is just for my personal interest. I just wanted to know. Or did you have a worst one? The worst one that you
no,
ever shot?
No, I never had a worst one. I don't really categorize them as the best and the worst. You know,
I think, that. Yeah. Was there a good one?
A good one, yeah, is the lady I photographed on a red ball. It's on my website. It's Ella.
She was amazing.
She was really incredible. She was a Cirque performer. And Elena, I mean, I've had so many great people that I photographed nude. And I worked on this book project with Cirque du Soleil performers. I, for 5 years on and off, we would bring them over to my studio. And we were shooting this project at 1/5,000th of a second.
1/5,000th
of a second. 1/5,000th of a second is quicker than a blink of an eye. So, and what I loved about this group is the commitment to their profession, you know, their commitment for perfection. And, you know, most of the time when you go to a Cirque show, you see the show for like 10 minutes and the show's over. So the Cirque performers are in my studio from 9 o'clock in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. They're continuously doing this. It's impossible things that I've never done in any Cirque show. Because at 1/5,000th of a second, think about it, I have to be in total synchronicity with them, total sync with them. And because if I press the shutter, just a split second too late, I've missed the shot. And that's not very good. So I think I decided to become one with them, you know. So I was just, I started learning, like, when is the best time to press that shutter speed. And we would look at the photos right live, right after we shot it on our 30-inch monitor. And their quest for perfection was just commendable, because they would look at the shot and said, yeah, I could do it better. I don't like the curvature of the
foot.
That's
amazing.
So there's one solo shot that we were doing of this Stefan, the lead actor. He's a gymnast, a dancer, been in the Cirque all his life. And he was in Zumanity, the show in Las Vegas. Yeah. And he actually choreographed a piece that, speaking of nudity, they were all in total nudity. And I haven't seen that show. It's a work of art. So we're doing some shots of him, sequential shots of him. He's flying over this ball, which is lit from inside. And we're not getting the shot. We're not getting shot. 30 shots, 40 shots. So this is what I'm talking about as far as being patient. You can't take this simple one shot and be done with it.
Right,
you have to have patience and commitment to stay focused with what you do to get it. Because once you're on that creative journey, your main objective and focus is to get that shot, and nothing else matters. So when I'm shooting the Cirque performers or anybody, if I'm shooting a CEO of a company, I'm shooting a flower for myself, that flower is the most important thing in my life at that moment. And my total focus and passion and commitment goes to that. So speaking of commitment and passion. So passion is... Everybody has, you know, passion about something. If you don't have the commitment, the passion, that becomes irrelevant. So what I really was remarkable about photographing these Cirque performers, their commitment was just such an admirable level. So back to Stefan, who were going over this shot over and over and over again. So we finally get the shot, and I'm not a very expressive person. And I'm just jumping with joy. I said, Stefan, we nailed it. Look at this. This is absolutely stunning. And he gets off the ball, he comes and looks at the monitor, and he says, wow, I didn't know I could do that. And I said, because it's a frozen moment, you know? And he said, man, look at it. And he pauses for a few more seconds and said, and I said, what are you thinking? He said, I'm thinking of doing it again.
Oh.
And I said, what? And after that, you know, we did another 20 shots. We got a photograph that is far better than
the
shot that we had. So what if we adopt that kind of ideology for our business?
Yeah.
So good is not good enough. You could always do better.
Absolutely. We're in a relentless focus on outcomes.
Exactly.
So yeah.
You know, it's not total instant gratification. You have a focus. You have patience. I think patience is a very, very important ingredient in any business or any kind of thing that we do in life.
Wow.
And I learned a lot from this Cirque performance. And with this project, it was an incredible project. It was going to be a book, coffee table book, a high-end coffee table book, which we're going to produce. We have 25,000 images of all these processes, which I have to go through. And
wow. So you mentioned your love of what you do. How do you measure success then? Because, you know, you weren't emphasizing money. So how do you measure success as a business owner?
I think it's a balance of running a business and having some sort of a personal gratification that should be equally important to each other. The personal gratification for me is most important, and the balance in my life is more important. As much as I love what I do, I really respect my own personal space and my time. You know, so there's time for introspection, which we most of us don't have time because we're so busy. There's we can't run enough to do the amount of work that is in a day's work. So I think it's important to slow down when go at home at night and focus on introspection and just.
All right, let's do two more quick ones here and see if we get to plead the fifth. Is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur, especially an artist? Is it a good idea to marry an artist?
Yeah, this wouldn't hurt. But I think the basic, most important ingredient has to be love first, right?
Of course.
But is it one of those things as an artist that you have to deal with somebody who gets up at 3 a.m. in the morning because they've got this creative idea and all of a sudden they roll out of bed, or you're on the road and you have to be in the Serengeti for a week and shooting photos? I mean, yeah. Do you have to be on for the journey with an artist?
Yes. And, you know, in fact, I just met a husband and wife team of painters out of Texas. And they work together and they do totally different things. They're just on totally different wavelengths. But together, cohesively, they do such beautiful work together. And it's really interesting because you can't turn on the creativity button just at that whim, you know. So they get up with some ideas. And I said, well, how do you work together without killing each other? They manage to really respect each other's opinion and the processes that they have to go through. They give time to each other to finish the work, you know. So
do one more.
Where do you struggle with the most as a business owner?
Well, again, the biggest challenge for me right now is everybody wants to be a photographer, you know, and the marketing, I think, is a very important aspect of it that I'm just trying to, you know, it's constantly a learning curve because it's all new to me. And you do one strategy and then you got to do the next one. So that's a challenge, I think, that I find in marketing yourself. And without marketing, you could do the best work. You could do the best violinist in the work. If you don't promote yourself, nobody knows about you.
Well, for folks that are listening today, and thanks for coming on the broadcast. And for folks, you can always see a replay of this on shrimptankpodcast.com. And then we're going to be doing our post-show wrap-up. How can people find out about you, your photography, visit the gallery and learn more about this? If they want to learn more about your artwork, buy a piece of it, and see more about what you do as an artist.
Well, they could go to my website. It's parishkohanim.com, parishkohanim.com. And more than would love people to, art is an experiential entity. So they need to come by and experience the actual pieces that are in there. You know, they could look at my website and we'd love to have them come and experience the actual pieces on the walls and the environment that we have.
Yeah. Well, it's fabulous stuff. I've seen it firsthand, and you should see the Cirque photography. It's really unbelievable. It's something that you should own and have in your house. It's amazing, amazing stuff. And it is holiday time. So if you're thinking about picking up a Hanukkah, a Christmas gift, whatever it may be, or just something for Happy New Year, it's amazing, amazing stuff. So thanks for coming on the show today. And next week on our show is going to be Rick Zampatti. You know who that is?
I like the name.
I like this.
Yeah, Rick Zampatti.
Yeah, it's not Zamboni. So we're not going to be talking about things that go across a hockey rink. But what he does is even better than that. Do you ever think about bartering before?
Yes.
Well, the bartering world is getting bigger and bigger out there. Oh. So he owns the largest barter business in the United States right now. So we're going to learn more about that with Rick Zampatti. And join us next week with Chris Hanks and myself right here on The Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.